Everybody right here, what you need to do is be thankful for the life you got, you know what I'm saying? Stop looking at what you ain't got, start being thankful for what you do got.
Welcome back to Giant Opinions. I'm Brian.
I'm Jennifer.
And unfortunately, Joseph, our third partner in crime, is off fixing his eyeballs.
Gotta get it done.
Apparently he can't see anything. But anyway, today is our school Remembrance Day celebration, so we had a really good discussion today, or a good celebration for our military, our armed forces, our veterans, wherever you're listening. Maybe you're more of a two-party system. But we are going to try to put a little bit of a spin on it with having our multiple parties here in Canada. So let's introduce our panel. CJ, how are you?
Good. I am representing the Conservative today.
Fantastic. Jim?
Hi, I'm representing the Liberals.
Great. And OG?
Hi, I'm representing the NDP.
NDP, which stands for?
New Democratic Party.
New Democratic Party. Fantastic.
Just so you know, we tried to have somebody from the Green Party represented, but unfortunately, they didn't show up today. So just know that we did try, but I guess it's just going to be the three parties.
That is what it is. And we also have our fact checker here. Phil, how are you?
Good. You?
I am doing well. Thanks for asking. Phil's going to be our fact checker, so if people are throwing out statistics, he can quickly check them to either correct them or give us a thumbs up or thumbs down, and we'll move forward. So, well, boys, it is all boys. What do you think? The election just happened. We now have what kind of government?
Minority.
We have a minority government. Which party?
Liberals.
The Liberals are kind of in charge, with Justin Trudeau being our prime minister. First thoughts coming into school on Tuesday. As a conservative?
There's not a lot of Western representation, especially like in the cabinet and stuff. They have talked about using an NDP member as a cabinet just to give us a little bit of representation, but there's not as much as people would have wanted, including me.
First thoughts as a Liberal?
Well, to be honest, I thought that a lot of people would vote for the NDP because of Trudeau's the SNC-Lavalin scandal and blackface and a lot of that. I thought that mostly the eastern side of Canada, they would vote NDP, and Toronto as well, mostly NDP. The couple conservatives here and there, and BC was toss-up, I thought. And same with the territories.
Okay, and what about the NDP? First thoughts?
Yeah, just as Jim said, like I actually thought that our party would actually win, like in Alberta. Most was NDP, but like down on the west southern side, like Ontario, all of them was all Liberal. BC, like he said, it was thrown up and down.
Yeah. So you guys got to understand that. Sorry, my voice is cracking and a little bit sick here. You got to understand that Toronto, Ontario, Quebec, those provinces, those cities are highly populous. So if the majority of the people are living in these territories, these provinces, these cities, wouldn't the majority of those people who represent the majority of the country, their voice is what was heard, right?
Yeah.
A lot of you are saying, well, the West wasn't heard. Well, the West was heard. We just don't have a lot of people out here.
That's true.
That's not really what I meant. I meant that none of the Western has a place in the governing party. So in Ontario, there were some Reds, Blues. In Quebec, you had some Bloc Québécois, but you still had Liberals. In Alberta and Saskatchewan, you had almost no Liberals at all. Alberta, you had one NDP. So there is no representation in the governing party.
Gotcha.
Much. Yes.
And that's kind of the view of, would you say, Alberta?
Most of Alberta,
right?
Yes.
Would you say that's the same for Saskatchewan? Kind of the middle of the country?
Mostly.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then what happens when you get further out west to BC?
The further west, it kind of surprised me with being a lot of NDP centered.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why that surprises people, because I think people just want change. I think they're tired of the same things with the Liberals, the same things with the Conservatives, and they just want something that's going to change. The one thing that did surprise me a bit was with the pipeline issue, and then people still being with Liberal. NDP.
Correct. So I guess the next question or follow-up question would be, where do we go from here, right? Now that we have a Liberal government kind of in charge again, for another term, what are your projections of where this government is going to take the country?
Well, I'm thinking that...
As a conservative.
As a conservative, the way that the Liberals will have to move forward is by giving more power to Jagmeet Singh because without him, they still have the minority and could be beaten out by the Conservatives and the NDP together.
And what do you mean by give him more power?
So asking for Jagmeet Singh's vote. So if they want to pass a law, they need Jagmeet Singh's approval and help to pass that law.
So more or less of a let's combine parties
yeah.
to go against the Liberal Party? Yep.
To go against the Conservative
Party. Sorry, to go against the Conservative Party?
Yes.
Right? Now someone who does support him, right? Thoughts on that?
Well, not really like he would want to join. He doesn't really want to be in power. He just wants some change about climate change. He doesn't really want prime minister. He just wants power. He just wants a voice in the government. We got like 33 seats, I think 33 seats.
Jim, as our Liberal representative, do you see change happening? And if so, where do you see the major changes coming?
Yes and no. I think that building off of what CJ said, that the Liberals are going to like kind of work together with the NDP. But I also think that on issues like the pipeline, they're going to work with the Conservatives to pass laws.
So you do feel that a Liberal government will side more so with the Conservatives to go back to let's build the pipeline?
Not like on all issues, but I think on the pipeline they really want it built. So.
And when you say they mean?
The Liberals.
Liberals and Conservatives are both on board with it. That could be a toss-up of opinions, right? You may find kind of hardcore Liberals say no chance, right? Think of BC. BC is made up of a lot of Liberal people, correct? Yes. And wouldn't you say, or would you agree or disagree with the fact that that Liberal group in BC is blocking the pipeline from going from Alberta to the ocean?
I think they are blocking the pipeline.
So then how can we say the Liberal parties, which is across Canada, is on board with the pipeline when that whole province is saying, nope, not coming through our territory?
I think because they're like very against the pipeline. They're probably more NDP on that specific issue, but they're probably agreeing with the Liberals more on every other issue.
Okay.
So they're voting Liberal when really they have a NDP mentality about that.
Sounds good. Do you think that as a Conservative, do you think that Liberals would be on board with kind of joining parties to make this pipeline go through? That pause makes me think your answer is no and you don't want to say it.
No, it's difficult to tell because there's inconsistencies in what Trudeau said. Like, he's made some promises before his election and he's carried through with some of them, but other stuff he hasn't, and he hasn't been completely transparent in his governmency when he did govern, and now he's in for another term, so I feel he's kind of unpredictable in a sense. So he could side with the Conservatives on the pipeline issue, but then again, the Conservatives could also decline that. No, they...
It's tough, right?
It's tough to...
I mean, we're making general statements about every Liberal and every Conservative and every NDP. I mean, you can't categorize a party with one statement. Because if you are a diehard Conservative, then you want this, 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 and this. But if you're a kind of Conservative, you may want some of those things. And we're trying to categorize those groups into bulk statements.
Okay, I want to talk about Alberta a little bit, though. I want to know what your parties, you feel, do for our province of Alberta. So let's start with Jim being representing the Liberals. What do you feel the Liberals do for Alberta?
I think they do a lot of good things, especially like for government itself. They help a lot of people who have government jobs. Like, they're not easy.
So you feel that the Liberal government is helping to fund Alberta?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Through social programs, I'm hearing.
Okay.
And also, like, the Liberals are more kind of centrist than maybe in America or in other countries. So they're going to get the pipeline built, which is going to create more jobs, and they're also going to help the people who are working in the government, which is helping current jobs.
I notice it keeps coming back to the pipeline, and I know as a Conservative, that is the biggest issue in Alberta or across the Conservative Party across Canada, is get this pipeline built, get it built fast, and let's rebuild what once was a booming industry in Canada. What do we say to those people who are strongly against it?
Well, I think that the main reason multiple people would be against the pipeline would be about like climate change and environmentalist reasons. Say, okay, now I'm not a firm believer in climate change being real. I'm not here to say that your thing is a lie and climate change isn't real, but I'm saying I don't think it's as urgent as people are making it out to be. And I don't think that we can sacrifice the Canadian economy and businesses and all that for the sake of climate change, because that's what the NDP and the Liberals want to do. They want to stop the pipeline, stop our economic growth, our booming economy, as you've said, in name of climate change, which can't be done. You can't sacrifice one part of the world for another thing. You have to keep things in the balance.
Well, would you sacrifice the whole world just for one country? I mean, like, it's not only Canada that's suffering from the climate change. Like, if we stop, it'll be get better. The whole world is suffering from it. The whole world is suffering from it. But it's the countries with more oil that are suffering from it worse. Places like Africa, they're suffering really bad. Poverty, their soil is bad because it's full of oil. Stuff, places like that. And you can't just sacrifice the whole world just for one world because we want to boom our economy.
I'm not saying sacrifice every other country just for Canada. I'm saying everyone needs to do this. I'm saying climate change isn't as bad as people are making out to be. Can you give me one catastrophic, fact-based thing that's happened based solely on climate change?
Hurricanes are happening, and also the sea levels are rising at an alarming rate. Also, so what's the point of having a good economy? What's the point of being like the richest country in the world if we're all dead? There's no point to making our life be better if we can't have generations to come.
It's pretty much just a waste of time.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, you guys, okay, I'm going to get fact-based here. When you look at the facts of how carbon has risen and lowered in our atmosphere throughout history, millions of years ago, like dinosaurs, carbon was an extremely high level, okay? Then the extinction event happened and fossils were created. Because that's what coal and carbon gases are. They're just old, dead dinosaurs. So if the carbon was in our atmosphere eventually and was being produced and around, then what's to stop us from just putting it back where it was originally? And there's other facts to support this, like greenhouses growing plants and stuff. They actually put an excess amount of carbon into the greenhouse other than the atmosphere around it. Because more carbon lets plants grow better. So by logic would dictate more carbon in our atmosphere would be better for the entire planet.
But that's turning the entire planet into a greenhouse, and it's making everything way too warm.
Greenhouses aren't just the only part. It's also warming up the earth.
But how do we know that's a bad thing? How do we know? What if we're just used to being cold?
Okay,
take the woolly mammoth. It was in the Ice Age. It developed during that. It went extinct as things got warmer. How do we know we're just not used to being cold and really the world is optimized for a warmer climate?
Well, if the earth is warming up, it's still going to get hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. Like, think of it in summer. It can get up to like 30 degrees and you'll be like crazy sweaty. What if it gets up to like 100 degrees? That's like boiling water. We're literally in a frying pan.
But what I'm saying is it won't get that hot. We only have so much carbon on the earth. We can only put so much into the atmosphere. And it was much higher, up to 10 times higher than the concentration of carbon in the atmosphere is right now. So what I'm saying is it won't get to a boiling point of, like you're saying, like 100 degrees. It will rise. It will be warmer than normal, and it might be uncomfortable for some people. But I'm thinking it will be better in the long run for the majority of the Earth.
Can I interject? And if the temperature goes up a degree and then another degree, it's okay. So I guess my question is, when will the increase stop and then we will still be all okay? Or do you think it will plateau, or do you think it will just keep rising?
See, this is another thing. I didn't say climate change wasn't real. I said it's not as urgent as people are saying.
So at what point does it become urgent?
If we started decreasing our carbon slowly but not sacrificing the economy, we could get to a stable temperature of about, let's say, 20 degrees warmer or 10 degrees warmer than it already is. By 2050, we wouldn't have completely ceased our carbon emissions because carbon would still be used by other things and we still have carbon emission, but it wouldn't be an unbearable temperature in the world.
One of the questions you asked a minute ago was what natural disaster happened because of climate change, and Jim mentioned hurricanes. and hurricanes and these natural disasters are formed from increase of temperature. So if we're getting, I'm going to throw a number out there, and I know this number's not right, but if we get 10 to 15 hurricanes a year, does this mean now we're going to get 15 to 20 hurricanes that could be devastational to cities, states, provinces, in areas that don't normally get hurricanes?
Yeah, but there's another thing. How do we know that these are solely based on the climate change in recent years?
Well, how do we know they're not?
I'm not saying they're not, but also look at, let's say, 20 years ago. There's things to support that we didn't have as many hurricanes as we have now. There was a hurricane drought, I don't know exactly how many years ago. But now there's been more recent hurricanes. But that's like last year was very warm and dry in Alberta. This summer was extremely wet. It's the same thing on the earth. There weren't as many hurricanes 10, 15 years ago. Now there are more, so logic would dictate in another 10 years there will be less hurricanes.
Let me ask, I'll ask my liberal question first. Do you feel that the economy is obviously more important than climate change?
No. It's like there's no point in being the richest man on earth if you're going to die the next year.
OG?
No. Like, strictly no. There's, like what he said, there's really no point. If you keep on making money every single year, more money every year, like let's say to 2100, like you die then, there's really no point of making all that money if you have no one to do share with, or just gonna go back down to the earth.
A typical view of conservative is the economy is okay, we'll be fine.
But now here's where you guys have like you, the way you phrased the question. I never said that climate change was that the economy was more important than climate change. I'm saying you're making climate change more important than the economy.
I think where we're going is that fear-mongering thing. I think that's what a lot of conservatives are saying, that we're getting to the point where it's more about fear-mongering in terms of climate change. They're not saying it's not an issue, because it is an issue, obviously, but they're just saying we're going so far one way with the issue that we're forgetting about the other things that might be important right now.
Very true.
Yes. You can't look at everything in the here and now. You have to also look at the future. If we completely scrap the economy to go full climate change, the climate could be fine, but our economy could be, like, we could have another Great Depression just from fixing climate
change. We're not saying that we should get rid of it entirely. We should have it 50-50.
That's not what they're doing right now, though.
Because it's so bad.
Because it's bad.
Yeah.
We have to focus more on climate change now.
Can you prove that it's so bad?
Yes.
Yeah. Hurricanes... There's natural disasters happening.
And I've already said that that's not purely climate-based, in my opinion, so I don't think it's as bad as people are saying, and I think that we should not sacrifice one thing to gain another.
All right, so you guys obviously have differing points of view, and that's great. I mean, that's why we're here. Can we move on now to something like education? What do your parties propose in terms of education for Alberta, for Canada? And this time I'm going to start with Jim, Liberal.
I think education is important, and I'm pretty sure, like, the Liberals, they're all about funding the provincial things, funding education, their workers, and the things that they control, basically. So I think, like, they would want to, if they got another majority government, they would pass like, more spending or on education.
Where's that money coming from?
Well, probably oil.
Okay. So now we've hit a wall. We've kind of come full circle to that, right?
But it doesn't have to be based on oil.
No, I'm just saying right now, that's one of our main sources of income, correct?
Yes.
So if we want to put money into education, we've got to have money to put into it, right?
How about NDP point of view on education?
Well, I think that it's really very, very, it has to be like, for the top five things in Canada, it has to be at least top three. It has to be the third thing, at least. Because without education, we can't have leaders of tomorrow. Like, Liberal, they do fund the economy. They do fund education, but they don't fund it as much as they fund, like, oil problems, like the pipeline. They're not funding it as much as, like, the pipeline. So I think that we should focus more on education than making money than putting money for the pipeline.
Okay.
What about a conservative view?
The conservative view is capitalistic in the fact that they want to reduce the taxes of the Canadians and thus reducing the amount of money that goes into the healthcare system, the education system, which isn't exactly the best thing on its own. But now what their plan is that people will have more money in their own pockets that they're not paying the taxes to spend on what they want to spend. Your money should be more mostly your own in the conservatives' point of view, so that if you want to spend it on education, you have more money to spend on your education. So less of a socialist donating to the greater good, more of a selfish, using your money to fund your own expenses.
And I guess you could take that one step further and move that into healthcare too.
Yes.
Right? So instead of having universal healthcare, you're now saying a conservative view may be to have private healthcare, that you take as much money as yours that you make, and you can choose where you want to spend that money. You want to put it into education? Go ahead. You want to spend it on medicine and medical bills? Go ahead. Mm. Whereas the other side is saying, no, we want to have that available at all times. You know, like we are helping the common good.
Now, I'm not saying that free healthcare is a bad thing, but I think that if we had more of a split between private healthcare and free healthcare, so the people who have the money use the private healthcare, and the people who don't can fall back on the free healthcare.
Do you think that falls into the have and have nots then? Those who have the money, blah, blah, blah. Those who don't have the money, sorry.
See, you could take it that way, but that is a worry that you could have with this government model and this economic model. But that's why I'm saying you still would put some money into the free healthcare from the taxes you do get. Because they're not going to completely scrap taxes. There's still tax money there. Just you will have less taxes into the free healthcare system, but there'll also be less strain on the free healthcare system because there'll be a private healthcare system for the people who have the money to pay for it. So people can support themselves, and the people who can't still have support under them from the government.
Well, what if you're between?
The middle class?
Yeah.
Well, then you could take a little bit of both. For example, you could get diagnosed by the free healthcare system, and then you could go for the MRI in the private sector.
But what if you don't have the money?
Well, then you would use strictly the free healthcare system, and the people who do have the money would use only the private healthcare.
Okay, then why would you use the private healthcare at all?
Exactly. When you don't have the money.
Or what if you do have? What, no, what if you do have the money?
But oh, when you do have the money, you
just use free healthcare.
Well, then that's being selfish, and that is an issue with the government model.
How is that being selfish? Exactly. You're letting yourself.
If you, okay.
The government model that you're proposing is already very selfish, and it's like self-contained. Like you pay for everything you want to do. If that person there is like struggling to go through school,
But that's what a capitalist is, and that is what the conservatives stand for. You could have a different opinion, but this is my opinion. It's not necessarily the right one. Yours isn't wrong. Neither of ours is wrong, neither is right. They're just different. So if the conservatives want to have a capitalistic, you pay for yourself and let other people fend for themselves, then that's their viewpoint and my viewpoint.
And I think it's in the word. Conservatives are conservative with their spending. And a liberal was very liberal. They're just going to give it out to the socialist programs that we need, right? The education, the healthcare, and the common good. It's just, that's the basic and fundamental thing of what these two parties are, right?
So where does NDP fit into that?
Everywhere.
A little bit of everything.
That's a good answer. Yeah.
So.
Usually the NDP, they're seen as more left than the liberals. But nobody knows how far left they are.
Okay, I just said something about conservatives. Okay, if you guys want to take money out of healthcare and put it into private healthcare, you guys want to take money out of like the teacher society, something like the teacher society. If you take money out of the teacher society, there'll be no money for the teachers to teach, so they'll go on strike. So if there are no teachers, no education.
See now. I'm not saying that you should take money out of everything just to have it. What they're going to do is they're going to take money out of the education system and free healthcare and not put it into private healthcare, but put it towards Canadians. The Conservatives propose a more hands-off economy than the NDP and the Liberals. They want the capitalistic, as I've already said, people to have more money in their pockets to spend on what they see fit to spend.
But But when do we start to understand what it is that educators do? Like, you know, some of you said earlier on, we're helping bring the future in or whatnot. So do you know that in some terms we haven't even had a raise in terms of education in the past, I think it's 8 years or whatnot, and now they're asking us to take a cut with all the things that we already have to do? It's not a 9-to-5 job, so how are teachers, for example, supposed to feel about that?
Now, this is another part of it, and again, keeping it in the balance.
You know we're teachers, and yes. You can say whatever you want to
yes,
say. You
absolutely.
Will not offend us,
no.
By the way.
Okay.
No. That's why
we have
here.
To keep it in the balance of the total system. If you kept the teacher's salary or the doctor's salary the same, they'll still be gaining more money because they'll have less taxes to pay. So overall, they'll still be having more money in their own pockets.
Well, how would they have less taxes to pay? Because they're citizens too. Aren't they all just going to pay the same taxes as everybody else?
That's what the conservatives want to do, though, which is what I've been trying to say the whole time. They're taking they're lessening taxes, so instead of paying 30 or 40% of your monthly wages, you pay 25% of your monthly wages. But that also means that 10% of Canadian money is not going into healthcare or education anymore.
So your end of day paycheck is higher because you're not paying as much to the provincial or federal government.
Yes.
Okay, so let's say that the Conservatives win, they establish that kind of government. What's stopping the Liberals from coming in and then just undoing everything?
See, that's a system that's always been a case. Like, take in the United States, Trump scrapped Obamacare. If the Conservatives did come in, they'd scrap everything Trudeau built. Maybe they'd try to take out the Cannabis Act, depending on how it went. And then Trudeau would get back in again and take down everything that Andrew Scheer would have built. So the whole thing of partisan government is tearing down what others built up to build your own, but then they just come down and tear it down again, which has always been an issue.
So you're saying it probably would be a better model just to use what's there and build up, to continue
yes.
building up rather than to rip everything down.
And it sounds like the the ripping down or changing of policies is just because the other party thought of it. The other party put it in place, therefore it can't be good.
That's what a lot of people seem to think. Just to spite the Conservatives or because they thought of it, it can't be what we think.
Doesn't sound very grown up, does it?
No, not at all. It's crazy that a teenager can have that opinion or that viewpoint, whereas a quote-unquote educated adult has a really hard time seeing the other side of that.
Right.
That one policy is being removed just because the other party created it or made it. It seems like a juvenile thing to do.
Absolutely.
But it's the adults that are doing it.
Yeah, you should see value in the good things. It's ridiculous to tear everything down.
But keep the good, fix the bad, but not scrap it just because of whoever made it.
Yeah.
So, well, Phil, you've been quiet the whole time. Here's your chance. You've been looking at some facts. Anything you want to correct from us?
No. All the information that was said was fairly accurate.
Okay.
And I can't disagree with any of the parties because I think it was a good argument set by everyone.
And if there was something that was said and we missed, we couldn't find it in the 20 minutes that we were looking, and so, to our listeners out there, if our facts are slightly off because we are clearly not experts on Canadian politics, we apologize, but we tried to get them as close, and our fact checker says we are in the right ballpark. So, thanks, guys. We probably could keep this going for another 20, 30 minutes, but we are trying to keep our time short, and maybe we should just do part two on this in the next future, and maybe focus primarily on one or two topics. You know, maybe Wexit, right?
That's
having
right.
the West break off from Canada, or having immigration and have their policies on refugees coming to the country. We could narrow Canadian politics down to one or two things because it's hard to take one party and, again, summarize it all into one or two sentences. So CJ, Phil, Jim, OG, thank you all. Any last comments?
Not that I can think of.
Go Raptors, that's about it. Right now the basketball season's starting.
That's another argument.
We'll save that for another day. We have lots of arguments coming. Well, from all of us here at Giant Opinions, I'm Brian.
I'm Jennifer.
Sláinte. Live your life. You steady dressing up that bar. Just live your life.